Chapter 8. The Passover Visit. This chapter is based on Luke 2, verse 41 to 51. Among the Jews, the 12th year was the dividing line between childhood and youth. In accordance with this custom, Jesus made the Passover visit to Jerusalem with Joseph and Mary when he reached the required age. The journey from Galilee occupied several days, and travelers united in large companies for companionship and protection. The women and aged men rode on oxen or asses over the steep, rocky roads. The stronger men and youth journeyed on foot. The whole land was bright with flowers and glad with the song of birds. Along the way, fathers and mothers recounted to their children the wonders that God had wrought for his people in ages past, and beguiled their journey with song and music. Observance of the Passover began with the birth of the Hebrew nation. On the last night of their bondage in Egypt, God directed the Hebrews to gather their families within their own dwellings. Having sprinkled the doorposts with the blood of the slain lamb, they were to eat the lamb, roasted, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. It is the Lord's Passover. Exodus 12, verse 11. At midnight, all the firstborn of the Egyptians were slain. Then the Hebrews went out from Egypt, an independent nation. From generation to generation, the story of this wonderful deliverance was to be repeated. The Passover was followed by the 7 days feast of unleavened bread. All the ceremonies of the feast were types of the work of Christ. The slain lamb, the unleavened bread, the sheaf of first fruits represented the Savior. But with most of the people in the days of Christ, this feast had degenerated into formalism. But what was its significance to the Son of God? For the first time, the child Jesus looked upon the temple. He saw the white-robed priests performing their solemn ministry, the bleeding victim on the altar of sacrifice. He witnessed the impressive rites of the paschal service. Day by day, he saw their meaning more clearly. Every act seemed bound up with his own life. New impulses were awakening within him. Silent and absorbed, he seemed to be studying out a great problem. The mystery of his mission was opening to the Savior. Wrapped in contemplation of these scenes, when the paschal services ended, he lingered in the temple courts, and when the worshippers departed from Jerusalem, he was left behind. In this visit, the parents of Jesus wished to bring him in connection with the great teachers in Israel. They hoped he might be led to reverence the learned rabbis and give more heed to their requirements. But Jesus in the temple had been taught by God. That which he had received, he began at once to impart. An apartment connected with the temple was devoted to a sacred school. Here the child Jesus came, seating himself at the feet of the learned rabbis. As one seeking for wisdom, he questioned these teachers in regard to the prophecies and to events then taking place that pointed to the advent of the Messiah. His questions suggested deep truths long obscured, which were vital to salvation. While showing how narrow and superficial was the wisdom of the wise men, every question placed truth in a new aspect. The rabbis spoke of the wonderful elevation which the Messiah's coming would bring to the Jews. But Jesus presented the prophecy of Isaiah and asked the meaning of those scriptures that point to the suffering and death of the Lamb of God. See Isaiah 53. The doctors turned on him with questions and were amazed at his answers. With the humility of a child, he gave the words of scripture a depth of meaning that the wise men had not conceived of. If followed, the lines of truth he pointed out would have worked a reformation in the religion of the day. And when Jesus began his ministry, many would have been prepared to receive him. In this thoughtful Galilean boy, the rabbis discerned great promise. They wanted to have charge of his education. A mind so original must be brought under their molding. The words of Jesus moved their hearts as they had never before been moved by words from human lips. God was seeking to give light to those leaders. If Jesus had appeared to be trying to teach them, they would have disdained to listen. But they flattered themselves that they were teaching him, or at least testing his knowledge of the scriptures. The youthful modesty and grace of Jesus disarmed their prejudices. Their minds opened to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. They could see that their expectation of the Messiah was not sustained by prophecy, but they would not admit that they had misapprehended the scriptures they claimed to teach. His parents become worried.
Meanwhile, in the departure from Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary had lost sight of Jesus. The pleasure of traveling with friends absorbed their attention, and they did not notice his absence till night came on. Then they missed the helpful hand of their child. Supposing him to be with their company, they had felt no anxiety. But now their fears were roused. Shuddering, they remembered how Herod had tried to destroy him in his infancy. Dark forebodings filled their hearts. Returning to Jerusalem, they pursued their search. The next day, in the temple, a familiar voice arrested their attention. They could not mistake it, so serious and earnest, yet so full of melody. In the school of the rabbis, they found Jesus. When he was with them again, his mother said, in words that implied reproof,
"Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing."
"How is it that ye sought me?" answered Jesus. "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" As they seemed not to understand, he pointed upward. On his face was a light. Divinity was flashing through humanity. They had listened to what was passing between him and the rabbis and were astonished at his questions and answers. Jesus was engaged in the work he had come into the world to do, but Joseph and Mary had neglected theirs. God had shown them high honor in committing to them his son, but for an entire day they had lost sight of him. And when their anxiety was relieved, they had not censured themselves, but had blamed him. It was natural for the parents of Jesus to look upon him as their own child. His life, in many respects, was like that of other children, and it was difficult to realize he was the Son of God. The gentle reproof which his words conveyed was designed to impress them with the sacredness of their trust. In his answer to his mother, Jesus showed for the first time that he understood his relation to God. Mary did not understand his words, but she knew he had disclaimed kinship to Joseph and had declared his sonship to God. From Jerusalem, Jesus returned home with his earthly parents and aided them in their life of toil. For 18 years, he acknowledged the tie that bound him to the home at Nazareth and performed the duties of a son, a brother, a friend, and a citizen. Jesus wished to return from Jerusalem in quietness with those who knew the secret of his life. By the Paschal service, God was seeking to remind his people of his wonderful work in their deliverance from Egypt. In this work, he desired them to see a promise of deliverance from sin. The blood of Christ was to save their souls. God desired that they should be led to prayerful study in regard to Christ's mission. But as the multitudes left Jerusalem, the excitement of travel and social intercourse often absorbed their attention, and the service they had witnessed was forgotten. The Savior was not attracted to their company. Jesus helps his mother. Returning from Jerusalem, Jesus hoped to direct Joseph and Mary to the prophecies of the suffering Savior. On Calvary, he sought to lighten his mother's grief. He was thinking of her now. Mary was to witness his last agony, and Jesus desired her to understand his mission, that she might endure when the sword should pierce through her soul. How much better she could have borne the anguish of his death if she had understood the scriptures to which he was now trying to turn her thoughts. By one day's neglect, Joseph and Mary lost the Savior. But it cost them 3 days of anxious search to find him. So with us. By idle talk, evil speaking, or neglect of prayer, we may in one day lose the Savior's presence, and it may take many days to find him and regain the peace we have lost.
We should take heed lest we forget Jesus and pass along unmindful that he is not with us. Absorbed in worldly things, we separate ourselves from him and from the heavenly angels. These holy beings cannot remain where the Savior's presence is not desired, and his absence is not marked. Many attend religious services and are refreshed by the Word of God, but through neglect of meditation and prayer, they lose the blessing. By separating themselves from Jesus, they have shut away the light of his presence. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point, and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. Thus our confidence in him will be more constant, our love will be quickened, and we shall be imbued with his Spirit. Beholding the beauty of his character, we shall be changed into the same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18.